Welcome to Eye on the Art. Today we have a really interesting, well-rounded, creative, beautiful and young, new artist to me, but not new to art. I'd like you to meet John Paul Thornton. Do you live here in the Valley?
I live in the San Fernando Valley. Yes, I do.
He lives in the Valley. He's a neighbor to ours, Calabasas. And I found him through the Savvy Seniors. And the Savvy Seniors are interested in art and interested in ideas around the city. So they found John, and I'm reaping the benefits. So welcome, John. It's so nice to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here. We have so much to talk about.
Yeah, let's get right into it.
I started working here in the city of Calabasas just a year ago. I was asked to bring art history programs to the Savvy Senior program. And this has been an amazing opportunity for me to meet some of the most brilliant people, some of the most educated people. People love art history, and I hated art history when I was young, because I had teachers that would put on a slide projector, and they would put it on autoplay, and they would leave the room. And we'd sit there in the dark wondering what this meant to us, you know, what it meant to our lives. And I always vowed that if I ever could teach art history, I would teach it in a way where it was alive.
You do that. I sat in on your class. It was very alive, very inspiring. And those seniors really participated. I mean, they called you out if you said one little thing, like, I saw this when I was passing, and they told you the place you were passing.
Right. They know their stuff. They're educated people. I love working with people who have been there, you know, have seen these places in art history for themselves. They've been to Europe, they've been to places in Asia, they've been around the United States, and they know these stories in passing, but they want to know more. They want to know the meat, they want to know the background, they want to know the details. And yeah, they're on every word.
They are.
Yeah.
So let's talk about these moving faces. They're so inspiring, and they're of young people. You know, usually you don't see young people unless somebody commissions a portrait of their child. So tell me about it, particularly this one, this woman, this little girl staring right at me.
Well, you know, this is actually, it's a little boy. This is an image of Eaton Patz, and people who know that name know that this is the first child that was shown on a milk carton when he was reported missing in the 1980s. And these are two paintings of missing children. I paint missing children. I started doing this because of a personal story. I was a teacher right when I got out of art school, and I had an art class I was teaching, and I had a little girl who's a student, and she was 12 years old, and one day she didn't come to class. And we learned that she had been abducted by
an abductor.
An abductor, someone who had taken her. And this had a profound impact on me emotionally. I went home, and I opened up my mailbox, and coincidentally, out came a little flyer. "Have you seen me?"
Uh-huh.
Said the flyer. "We remember these." And I didn't throw it away. I kept it. And I didn't throw it away because I was aware of this little face printed on the flyer. And I thought, this little face of a missing child is going to be thrown away by millions of people around the United States this week. And because of my own experience with my student who I had learned was abducted, there was a connection. And I kept the card and I put it in a drawer. And I guess after a few months, I had a drawer of these cards, and I thought, well, what am I doing with these cards? I thought, what if there was a way to make these images permanent and to have people see them differently? And so I began painting portraits of missing children.
Wow. Were these images haunting you, or were they calling you in an artistic way? I mean, usually artists have their style or their way. They don't look at a little image on a milk carton. So what got to you, other than knowing one little girl? I mean, it's so different.
I had a voice in my head that was from my past, and it was of an art instructor I had a few years earlier who said that the human portrait was irrelevant in art, that it was something from a bygone era, from the 1600s. And this instructor's words stuck with me, and suddenly I was realizing that I was connecting to these little faces on cards. Wow. And the little faces on the cards were black and white, and they were the size of, you know, a stamp, a postage stamp. And I thought, what about color? And I began to see these images in color. I began to see them in color. I took my paintbrushes, I threw them away. I started painting with a palette knife, something that was less controllable, that had a kind of a sense of disorder and chaos, because I thought that this would match the reality of what these families would be feeling. So for me, it was being prompted by someone who was a naysayer, someone who was sarcastic about portraits, but also getting this yearning and really understanding that these paintings for me were about love. And love is such a...
It's not tangible.
It's not tangible. It's the wrong word to throw around when we talk about art. We're supposed to talk about color and form and shape and composition. But it was love. It was a feeling of wanting these faces to become alive in a different way, and wanting to connect with these families. And I've been working on these paintings for 25 years. And I have over 500 of them now.
That's amazing. And are they all in the same style?
No. Some are like this, very colorful. Some are more realistic. They look, you know, very quiet, very simple. And they range in sizes. And a lot of that has to do simply with, I guess, intuition. How should this child be depicted? How should this child be shown? So for me, it's very personal.
It feels very personal, and the images, you know, look real personal, like they're speaking to you, they're coming out. There's no reference in their background or in their to the time or the place or anything. It's just a face, this, like a spirit face. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I find it particularly moving. And also the way that you put the material on the face, it to me doesn't look, my idea of children's portraits are ones from the past, and they're smooth.
Very smooth, very classical.
Very classical, yeah. And the kids are dressed up, or they're sitting on, or a photograph where they're sitting on a little chair. Mm-hmm. Usually I don't see this kind of work. So have you ever seen this kind of work, or did it just emote from you so much this was the only thing you could do?
This came from me. I have visions of this, you know. Those of us in the audience watching our conversation are thinking, you know, what do artists come up with?
Yeah.
Well, for me it was a vision, and it was a vision of these faces being brought into reality, but describing this sense of where are they? They're here, but they're gone. They're lost somehow. They're emerging. Yeah. And then the colors that are in some sense, I don't know, maybe happy, maybe festive, maybe celebratory, but also maybe harsh, maybe less than delicate. And I had another vision, and that was how to show these paintings.
Right.
And, you know, my thought was, well, do you put them in a gallery? What do you do? And I had a vision of these paintings moving, the paintings moving. And I thought to myself, what is that about? And I realized in my vision, behind the paintings were people holding them. And I began to have exhibitions of these paintings where people would come together in a public space and they would all hold a painting over their heart. And we've got some great images for the audience to visualize what this is about. Going in front of the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, at the Lincoln Memorial in front of the White House, places around the United States where these paintings have been shown this way. And my real goal then is to get people to connect. You know, how do you connect to art? And I thought, well, why not break the barrier? We're never supposed to touch paintings. We're supposed to stay back. What if you could hold one and get your fingers on it and get a grip on it and hold it and make it yours? And what would that do to people who participated in this kind of event? What would it mean?
Yeah, I'm wondering. Yeah. Yes, I find these pictures very meaningful and very moving, and I keep wanting to look at it. And now that I know this is a missing child, like my heart is going out. But the picture isn't sad. It's just what it is. Wow, I'd love to talk a little more about this, but we're taking a little break. So I'll see you guys again in a couple minutes, and we'll talk about the rest, and we'll talk some more to this interesting artist.
Keep your family safe. Improve your gas mileage. Extend the life of your tires. How do you do it? Check your tire pressure once a month to keep them properly inflated. So just check it, California. A message from CalRecycle.
Hi, welcome back to this amazing session with Jean-Paul Thornton and his emotional work. I can't wait to continue. So please tell me, John, about this one. This couldn't be a missing.
No, Lorene, this is a painting that is about my life, and it's a painting of my father. You know, I think as artists we get a chance to paint the world, and the first place we look sometimes is to our own families. And I've been really privileged to have a chance to paint my father holding my daughter Lorelei. My daughter Lorelei is 8 years old now, so she was just a baby when I painted this. But this painting has stayed in my family. I have to tell you about this painting.
Okay.
You know, I get commissions to do portraits, you know, very warm, very, very realistic portraits of people and their children and their families. That's one of the things I do as an artist. And so to have a chance to paint my own family allowed me to explore things that were going on at the time. My father, look at my hair. You see my beautiful hair? My father had this hair. My father was going through chemotherapy, so he'd lost his hair. And it didn't faze this man, this incredible man, who was there to see my baby and was there to be the patriarch of the family, was here, you know, embracing my newborn baby. So for me, it was this incredible chance to see really two of my favorite people together. And man, my daughter loved my dad, just loved him. And he really loved her and all of his other grandchildren. They have, between my mother and father, they had 11 grandchildren. And the love was everywhere. Love again, you know.
Yes. This is a very loving embrace.
Yeah.
And the way you did his hands and the baby's back rather than her front. And I'm wondering, do you think you painted her head because you didn't want to do a face like you do of these missing children?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think what I was thinking was that this little girl was representing every child, every baby, and to give it a face would take that away from the viewer. I would hope that when people look at this painting, they would imagine their own grandchild or their own child. And I would hope that the face of my father would represent, you know, every grandfather, everyone who's ever held a child. And
his embrace is so tender and nice, and she puts her hand on his face. It's really moving, and I'm getting the idea that all the love you put into your work shines out in all these, like you don't do little flat drawings.
I can't. And I love color. I love brush strokes. I love the textures of paint. You know, we had a chance to talk about painting right before we began speaking here. We were talking about what we're drawn to, you know, and you had shared that you're drawn to faces, and
yes.
and I am too. There's such a description of the journey that we take,
and your face goes with you.
It does.
Yeah.
And a good face will reflect that journey. And so for me, I thought, well, here's my pop, you know, who's going through chemotherapy, going through a tough time. But didn't stop his love for a second. Didn't stop his presence, especially with his grandkids. And I swear this little hand holding up to grab his chin, you know.
Special.
That's the great bond, you know.
Something just occurred to me. Do you have a self-portrait?
Oh, do I have a self-portrait? Yeah. I do.
We'd love to see it.
My gosh.
Maybe we'll have another show.
Okay.
I think that would be really good.
That would be good. That would be a good continuation. Yeah.
Yes. I'm wondering how you see yourself, or can your hand accurately do your face?
Wow. Well, I will leave that up to you to decide.
Yes.
Because I think I can. And I love self-portraits. I teach painting,
uh-huh.
and, you know, when a lot of students come and they want to learn painting, the last thing they want to do is a self-portrait. You know, what they want to paint is a beautiful scene, a place they remembered, a vacation that they remembered, maybe a loved one. But when artists finally come around and they get that
they start emerging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they come in. They're like, oh, I did a painting over the weekend. Want to see it? And it's a self-portrait. And I know that they've arrived when they've done that, because there is an introspection that comes with that. It's a beautiful thing. That's why everyone should learn to paint or draw, because there's a connection that you make with something when you're really observing it, and you have to translate it. And I love that, to be aware of your own journey. You know,
that's
the great joy of life.
Also, it passes by so fast that it's easy to miss it.
Yeah.
You know, of course, when the holidays come along, there you are again. But most of the time, you're just living your life, I guess, unless you're John Paul, working on it all the time.
I'm always looking. I'm always trying to document this great love. There's love that runs through everything.
Well, let's talk about this one. Who's this child?
You know, I'd have to remember this child's name. This is a child that I know has been recovered, and recovered safely. So where Eaton Pates is a representation of a child that's still an unresolved case. This is a child that we know has been recovered, and I think it's a child perhaps that. Should give us hope. It should be a face of hope, that no matter what kind of expression we see in this portrait, it's one of the thousands of children that have been safely recovered because of the flyer program. You know, programs like this are beginning around the world. People are aware that faces can be seen and people can recognize these faces. And to talk about hope, These paintings I do of missing children, for all the sadness and all the true emotion, they're also paintings of hope. I call them my Paintings of Hope Project, because most of the paintings represent, 70% of the paintings I paint represent children who have been ultimately safely recovered.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Do the parents contact you? Do you ask permission to do this first, or you just...
No,
the day comes and you're starting that portrait.
Yeah, these images are in the public arena, so they belong to the
uh-huh.
public. I have had the great honor to meet some of these children who have been recovered. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children contacted me in the year 1999. And said, hey, you're doing something that you need to be educated about. And they flew me to Washington, D.C. so I could become officially versed in how to speak about this subject.
You're sure doing it.
It's, well, thank you.
Yes.
And I was honored. And I was in a room with police agents and coroners and parents who had lost children. So I felt so out of place. Here I was, the artist from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But once I shared with them what I was doing and what my motivation was, they accepted me. And this was important to me because I felt that I was somehow encroaching upon something very personal. So when the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children called me and said, would you like to meet some of these children?
Yes, you were on the plane.
Yeah, I was very honored, and meeting the families of these children and hearing some of their stories, and then meeting the kids.
Wow.
It was great because I had some of the paintings with me, and yeah, the kids would see the paintings and they'd kind of say, well, I don't have a yeah, pink chin. I'm going to go play now. You know, they were just so disconnected to what these paintings represented.
Yeah.
They were safe and they wanted to play, and that was the beautiful thing to see, that they were okay.
They were safe, and also seeing your images safe. You know, it could be in a museum or on your driver's license. It's safe. It happened before,
right,
and we're good now.
Right.
And it's heartwarming to know that, I guess, many of the children do recover spiritually, or, you know, they can still run out and have fun and not be afraid, because it's so frightening to not be with your loved ones.
Yeah, it's something that no one wants to think about. Of course,
no.
It's the darkest place to go. And we do live in a safe culture. We do. Many of the children in our nation who are abducted, it tends to be such a tiny percentage. And so often it's something that is resolved ultimately with a good ending. I never want these paintings to be preaching to people about child safety, because that's not their job. And I don't want them to be about fear. I want them to be about human connection. I want them to be about a sense of gratitude. I want them to be about a sense of memory of what it means to be innocent and to honor them.
Yeah, these do honor these young warriors of their times. I mean, you do good work. Your art is beautiful. Your humanitarian reach is grand.
Thank you very much.
And also, you know, for artists, they're not, in my opinion, generally focused so much on art and giving, other than giving their emotion at the time of painting. It doesn't seem quite as far-reaching, or maybe it's because we know the story. It seems more personal and far-reaching for us. And here in Calabasas, we live in such a safe and beautiful community, and we have the opportunity to meet exciting people like you, so it's cool. You're a cool guy. I'm happy to meet you.
I'm very happy to be here, too.
So let's talk about other, were you just born with this talent, or your big school from somewhere?
My father was an artist. My mother's an artist. I always had art in my life. I was involved in theater and music when I was younger. Somehow visual arts is what I gravitated to. But it's always about people, because if I was alone in my studio painting, I would not be satisfied. I love to share. I love to be out.
Do you play music when you paint?
That's a good question, too. Sometimes I play classical music, and sometimes I paint an absolute silence for hours, and through my head runs a dialogue, or through my head runs kind of a song.
A lover. You know. You're just a lover. I could tell. You must have been a loving little boy. Your parents did a good job.
Thank you. I think
they allowed you to emote and be nice and cool and be a good teacher.
They did.
A good father.
Thanks. I am proud of my fatherhood, in fact. I'm a good dad.
Yeah. Is your wife an artist?
My wife is an acupuncturist. She's brilliant. She works here just outside of Calabasas in Woodland Hills. She has an office. She studied in Beijing. She studied in Beijing. She is remarkable. You know, she's a healer. And I like to think of her as a healer. And that's what her patients think of her as. And so we're raising our daughter aware of, you know, what it is to heal people and to make connections. And I guess that's what we're all about as parents, you know.
Do you have pets?
Right now we do. We're living in an area where there's a lot of horses. We're in an equestrian area. We have a number of dogs who are now adults. They were puppies at the time.
Uh-huh.
Cats come around, and every morning where we live, we hear chickens, and, you know, it feels rural where we live, and it's kind of a reminder of the old days here.
The sounds of life.
Yeah, the sounds of life. You know, when you go to Mexico or you go to China or you go to India and you hear chickens and what else do you hear? You hear donkeys and burros and things.
Yeah.
And you think, well, this is what it was like throughout most of history. So I do love our chickens. That they don't belong to us, but they're the neighbor's chickens, and I hear them every morning.
Every morning, yes.
Yeah.
Do they give you eggs?
No, they don't. That's all right. We'll buy our eggs at Fresh and Easy. That's okay.
So other than these faces and your teaching and your busy life, what other kinds of artwork do you do, or what's coming up in the future for you artistically? Or
well, I'm always inspired by travel. I've had the great opportunity to travel around the world. I worked on a project in Haiti with the United Nations last year. And I've been to China, working in India. Every year I go somewhere. This last summer I took an art history group to France.
Wow.
And I'm working on a trip to Italy that's coming up, and then to Russia ultimately. And it's taking people to these countries and immersing them in art history and, you know, the great experience of travel and culture and art. So intermixed with my social projects in other countries, I'm also producing these really, I think, life-transforming journeys.
Sounds just like you.
Well, do you take your paintbrush, or do you just take a sketch pad, or how do you...
I always take a sketch pad. I always take a paintbrush. Last trip, it was watercolors, doing watercolors along the Seine, you know, following in the footsteps of the French Impressionists, and just, you know, getting
with a little baguette and
drunk on the romance of it all.
Yeah.
But in the future, that'll continue, because there's nothing like going to a place and, you know, again, painting and connecting, and you see it differently. And gosh, I couldn't go somewhere and not paint it, because to me, it's the bridge, you know. And I encourage people to paint too. You know, sometimes on these trips, I have people who are artists, and sometimes people who've never painted in their lives, and I'll teach them to do that so they can make that connection themselves.
Yeah, they want to jump in when they meet you. You know, like, I'm wanting to sit closer to you.
Thank you.
I'm getting it going here. So I'd like to thank the CTV audience and welcome you to come back and watch more of our TV series. And I'm very, very excited about this particular artist, so I think we'll be showing him again. Thank you very much, CTV. Thank you, John Thornton.
Thank you so much.
It's been great. See you soon. Watch us.